Hey, it's Pastor John Haggard at Treasure Top. Today I want to share a 60-second radio message with you about how can I really trust the Bible as the Word of God. Take a listen. This is a quick executive summary in 60 seconds, and then we will go a lot deeper. So here's the one-minute version, the radio message. The most read, best-selling, most translated book in history is the Bible. Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard at TreasureTop.com. How can we trust the Bible as the Word of God and that it's true? The Bible was written over 1,500 years, 40 different authors, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, and they didn't even know each other. And they all came up with the same story in writing. The odds of that? Infinitesimal. So how did that happen? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed. And unlike mythology, about a third of the Bible is prophecy, containing over 1,800 predictions, as written in over 8,300 verses. More than 300 predictions alone are about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, years before they happened. It's just mathematically impossible to have this many predictions come true. Listen to the full podcast for more at treasuretop.com. That's treasuretop.com. Okay, that's a lot in 60 seconds. So let's dig into how can I trust the Bible as God's Word? It's really important to understand that the ultimate reason someone either accepts the Bible or rejects the Bible is this. Who is going to be the ultimate authority in my life? Is it going to be me? Or is it going to be God? The problem we all have with authority is, with authority comes accountability. So if someone has authority over you or me, we must be accountable to that person, assuming that person is not asking us to do something that conflicts with God's Word. If you assume that someone or something, like the Bible, does not have authority over you, then you feel free to do whatever you want. And for those who choose themselves as the authority in their lives, the first question to ask on self-governance is, well, how's that going? How's that working out so far? For those who choose God as authority over their lives, they have chosen to be held accountable because the two go together, authority and accountability. Now, while Christians have many of the same problems that non-Christians have, the difference between a non-Christian and a Christian is how each handles the problems that come up in life. The non-Christian will use self-power. The Christian uses Holy Spirit power. Same authority and accountability with the Bible. Those who choose to believe that the Bible is made up of a bunch of stories like Jonah living inside the belly of a big fish for 3 days, that there's no real heaven or hell, that when you die, that's it, or even if it's I believe in all that stuff, but for now, I'm going to live my life the way I want to and deal with all that other stuff later. Well, essentially what that person is saying is, I don't want you telling me how to live my life. You'll hear statements like, all truth is relative, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. Ever heard that before? The translation is, I don't want to be accountable to any one person or thing for any one reason or purpose. Well, so what results? Poor decision making, lack of motivation and discipline, missed opportunities and negative consequences, difficulty in building and maintaining relationships, difficulty in achieving personal and professional goals, even difficulty sleeping, feeling stressed out, maybe even reputation damage. Now, I don't have enough time in this program to go over all the reasons why accepting biblical authority is the key to believing that the Bible is true and not a bunch of man-made up stories. But let me briefly highlight 3 key areas that testify to the truth of the Bible and why you can trust the Bible. The 3 areas we're going to look at are prophecy, eyewitness accounts, and archaeology. Let's start with prophecy. Basically, prophecy is divinely inspired predictions, the foretelling of events yet to come, declared by a prophet and one who speaks as directed by God. Wayne Jackson, in a Christian Courier article, wrote that various books cite different figures as to how many prophecies there are in the Bible, depending upon the manner in which one counts the prophecies. For example, he says one writer may count a single verse as a prophecy, while Another may see three or four prophetic elements within the same passage. For example, J. Barton Payne's Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy lists 1,239 prophecies in the Old Testament and 578 prophecies in the New Testament, for a total of 1,817. And these prophecies encompass 8,352 verses in the Bible. Now that's a lot of prophecy. Remember that the Bible was written over a span of about 1,500 years by 40 different authors on three different continents in three different languages. And they didn't even know each other. And they all came up with the same story in writing. The odds of that are just infinitesimal. 2 Peter 1:19-21 in the NIV version of the Bible says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Well, Pastor Haggard, that all sounds interesting, but do you have any specific examples of prophecy that have actually been fulfilled years later? Well, I do. Let me give you just three prophecies that were predicted in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New Testament many years later. Now, the Old Testament, as you know, recorded events prior to Jesus' arrival and really lays the foundation for the coming of Jesus, who would sacrifice himself to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future. The New Testament records the public life and events of Jesus' ministry, his crucifixion on the cross, which also fulfills Old Testament prophecy. And we also get a glimpse of what the end times will look like before Jesus' second coming. So here's the first prophecy example. The prophet Daniel foretold that Israel's long-awaited Messiah would begin his public ministry 483 years after a decree was issued to restore and rebuild Jerusalem sometime before 500 BC, as described in Daniel 9:25-26. Daniel also stated that the Messiah would be, quote, cut off or slain, and that this would happen before Jerusalem would be destroyed once more. So it's abundantly clear from the evidence that Jesus Christ's life and crucifixion precisely fulfilled these prophecies. King Artaxerxes of Persia gave the Hebrew priest Ezra the order to rebuild Jerusalem in 458 BC. 483 years later, Jesus Christ's ministry started in Galilee. That's a span close to 500 years from prophecy to fulfillment of prophecy. What are the odds of that? Here's another fulfilled prophecy. Christ to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." That prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew 1:22-25. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The time between the book of Isaiah, which was written between 739 and 681 BC, makes the fulfillment of this prophecy over 700 years later. Again, what are the odds of something prophesied around 700 years ago to then become fulfilled 700 years later? Here's a third prophecy example. Christ to be incarnate God. By the way, incarnate means God in human form. The reason Christ came to earth in human form is so that we would recognize God in human form. Isaiah 9:6-7 in the NIV version of the Old Testament says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end." That prophecy was fulfilled about 700 years later in Galatians 4:4, where the New Testament says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman." The second area I will talk about as to why you can trust the Bible as the inerrant word of God is eyewitness testimony. Moses was there when the Red Sea split. Exodus 14, 21 and 22 in the NIV says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left." And the disciples of Jesus in the upper room saw the resurrected Jesus appear and then wrote down what happened. And the Apostle Paul, upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, illustrates the 500 eyewitnesses to the risen Christ, quote, "most of whom are still living," end quote, at the time he wrote that. Meaning that people could go check it out for themselves. Go look and see if it's true what Paul wrote. That was eyewitness testimony to the event recorded in the Bible. Now, a third example that proves the authenticity of the Bible is archaeology. And the most significant find to date is the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. In 1947, these scrolls were found in 11 caverns close to the Dead Sea. What makes the Dead Sea Scrolls so important? Get a hold of this now. The Dead Sea Scrolls, which were written roughly 100 years before Jesus, include copies of every book of the Old Testament except the book of Esther. Now, the earliest copies we had before we discovered those scrolls date from 900 years after Jesus. So from 100 years before Jesus to 900 years after Jesus, that's a span of 1,000 years. The amount of change that occurred over those 1,000 years, well, of course, that had to be looked at. And you know how much change there was? About 5%, largely in the names and words spellings. Over the course of 1,000 years, those scribes who copied repeatedly were shown to be correct. And it serves as yet more evidence of the Bible's historical accuracy. Another discovery, this one in 1986, is known as the Jesus Boat, discovered along the muddy shore of the Sea of Galilee. According to Waksman, in the article The Excavations of an Ancient Boat, quote, "On the basis of pottery fragments found in the boat, it's been dated between the latter part of the 1st century BC to approximately the mid-1st century AD," end quote. The boat is similar to those mentioned in New Testament texts in connection with Jesus and his disciples. You can look in Matthew 8:18, also Mark 4:35-41, Luke 6:1, and John 6:16-21, as referenced by Anthony Meyer in the publication of Palestine, Archaeology of. Another archaeological discovery is the inscription of Pontius Pilate. Now, Pontius Pilate was the man who gave Jesus over to be crucified. Matthew 27:1-2 in the NIV says, "Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor." Antonio Frova discovered the inscription in 1961 on a dedicatory stone at Caesarea Maritima, an ancient city built by Herod the Great around 25 to 13 BC. According to Frova, the inscription reads, "Tiberius Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea. Emperor Tiberius appointed Pontius Pilate as the Roman governor of Judea in AD 26. But after massacring Samaritans at Mount Gerizim, Vitellius, the governor of Syria, suspended him in AD 37. In addition to confirming Pilate's historical existence, the inscription clarifies the position he had as governor, according to Scoville in the publication Archaeological Discoveries. So how do we sum it all up? Well, we go to Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 160 in the New International Reader's Version says, "All your words are true. All your laws are right. They last forever." Louise Palau once said, "Our choice is to get back to the Bible or go back to the jungle, a moral jungle." If God had intended us to live lives of moral relativism, where everyone does what feels right at the time, he would have given us the 10 suggestions instead of the 10 commandments. If you have not already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may not have a second chance later. That's because anyone who dies before accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will not go to heaven. Instead, it's going to be eternity in hell, as Jesus says in Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Jesus is talking about those who refuse to accept him as their Lord and Savior. So I ask you, really, why take a chance that is not true? You know, we're only here for, what, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years. And then we live in eternity for trillions of years. It's going to be in one of two places, heaven or hell. If you'd like to help us spread the good news of the Bible and of Jesus Christ, you can go to our website, treasuretop.com, and just press the Give button on the top menu. Or you can text the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. That's text the word GIVE to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer, you can also mail your gift to P.O. Box 210615, Nashville, Tennessee 37221. That's P.O. Box 210615, Nashville, Tennessee 37221. Thank you for all of you who have helped us and who continue to help us spread the saving grace, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. And in times like these, I also understand that some are unable to give financial support, but your prayers for Treasure Top are just as important. And if you've never given a gift to Treasure Top, please pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to provide what my pastor once said, real hope for real people in the real world. And to be notified of our latest episodes, click on the episode and press the word subscribe under my picture there. You can also share our podcast with friends or people you know who need an encouraging word or who just want to find out the truth. Just click on the podcast message, and underneath my picture, you will see the word share next to the word subscribe. And of course, you can also download this or any episode if you like. It's Pastor John Haggard saying blessings to you and your loved ones, and see you next time on this podcast.